Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Oh, welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today, we're going to have a delightful conversation with two both colleagues, friends, and beautiful geniuses that I fully respect. And we have this, we're having this episode today because after my last episode, it was brought up that, hey, you know, you could have a show about this, this, and this. And I was like, well, sisters, let's get on and talk about that. Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes I like to have conversations with other people. Weird. So we haven't had like a threesome in a really long time on this show. I don't even know. It's probably been a few years. I've had like one-offs. I've been solo a lot. Like I spend a lot of time solo. Sometimes I'm just with one partner, but the threesomes are woo, delightful. So today we're not even talking about a thoroughly sexy conversation, which with these two, it could get down dirty and nasty, I tell you. One day.
Us? Man, not what? Us. Come on.
I think if we ever got on and told our dirtiest frickin' stories, we would be banned. So we're not doing that today.
We would not banned. That show is at 11
p.m. everywhere in the world only. Somehow we mastered how to get that out.
Have the little check mark. I am 18 or older to watch yeah. the show.
If you guys don't recognize those voices yet, well, you haven't been listening to Inspired Choices Network enough. And please, you haven't listened to my show enough because we've both been guests on here. So we've got Danielle Carter, who is a health coach and a magnificent magical body worker.
Hello.
We've also got, well, that's my title for Danielle today. And Danielle has a show on Inspired Choices Network as well. She can talk a little bit about that after. And of course, our CEO, Master, my BFF, also the my business coach, I don't know, author, let's name all the things that Christine is, mother, lover, I don't, she's not my lover, but one day maybe if I'm lucky. And
wow, okay.
Tyler,
hey, I'm not sure if I'm excited about this show now or not.
I'm scared. I will get that blender that we've been talking about with some other friends of ours.
Yes.
One of
yes,
us. We do need
to get the blender. So. But interesting that you describe us this way and we're talking about grieving.
Grief. Yeah.
Gets very interesting.
Well, I think because so part of it is we've all experienced grief, right? In very real ways. You guys have both lost parents. I haven't lost a parent. I've lost grandparents. So we have like the grief that most people think about as grief is somebody dies and we have grief. But a lot of people, and then that show last week that I did, which was about, you know, grieving relationships and how we still go through those stages of grief in relationships. At which point you brilliant people were like, hey, what about grieving the possibilities that we could have had. And when we start grieving the relationships that were with even abusive people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, absolutely, because that grief is real and it kind of messes with your head. Right. So
yep.
Danielle, since you popped that one out into the universe, just that was a quick birth. Can you share a little bit about what and how that like came into your thoughts and, you know, whatever else you want to say, if you want to sing a song, write a poem, whatever. Cool.
I'll write a poem later.
Okay.
It might be naughty. But awesome. Yeah, because, you know, last week you were talking all about the grieving of relationships and how it was the good and the positive. And I'm like, you know, I've had a few relationships in my life, both romantic and business, that were not healthy. One was a narcissistic gaslighter that had me convinced I was stupid. And you know, I've been influenced by a business I was working with that was not healthy. And when those relationships ended, I was still grieving. And that's what confused me. I was still missing it. I'm like, wait a minute. This was the right choice to leave, but I'm still grieving. I'm still mourning what it was. It was the possibilities, but it was also, you know, I was missing the familiarity that I knew, because I know how brains love those patterns. And so I was also missing that, and then at the same time feeling guilty, and I was like really confused. It was way before I had tools and way before I had research, and you know, so I was like, why am I missing this? Shouldn't I just be skipping down the street, celebrating as I go? But I was crying. I was upset. I was depressed. And I'm like, why am I not happy? Why am I not celebrating? Why am I still grieving this abusive relationship? And so that's why I asked you to talk about it. I'm like, you should talk about this. And then Christine was there. She's like, yeah, because I've had it too. That's when you're like, well, come on. Because it is, because it's very confusing if you don't know what's actually going on as to why you're grieving an abusive relationship.
Exactly. And we'll talk more about the whys, like what is it behind it? What's actually going on? Like there are neurochemical responses that are kicking in, right? So we'll talk a little bit about that. And Christine, like I'd love to hear from you, because man, I have seen you grieve. There's not a lot of people I have, right? And the thing is, I take it to be such an honor when people are willing to grieve in front of you. So I think it's such a gift that you have the vulnerability to be able to do that. I'm going to start to cry.
Yeah, you're not supposed to make me cry during this show. That's
okay,
not allowed.
Sorry. You do have beautiful makeup on today.
Don't be messing my makeup up. I have had, as many of us will, at some point in our lives, I believe, have many people that we have grieved. I have had the blessing of a large family, and with that comes a lot of change. And, you know, second youngest of 11 children. And so my parents were, you know, close to 40 when they had me. And so that means that likely if they will likely leave you, maybe at a younger age. But for me, it's grieving is it really equals the amount of love that you shared with that person. Mm-hmm. And the love that you share with someone does not get minimized by them leaving or by the relationship ending. Now, all relationships end either by choice or by death. When somebody leaves by death, you can have very different emotions for every single death, right? If they leave by illness, then you feel sorry for them. If they leave by their own choice, then you might have anger for them. But at the end of the day, there's loss and there's grieving and there's sadness. Now, I just looked up the online etymology definition of the word grief or grieving. Oh. So grieving is causing pain. And grief is to make worried or depressed, to make angry or enrage, also to be physically painful and cause discomfort. So it's not necessarily today. Sad. Today, well, it does say about sad too, sad. Today, when we think about grief, right, we think about someone has died.
Yes.
And yes, it's true. When someone dies, we will often grieve them. But you can be grieving many different things, and hence why Danielle popped in with what she said last week.
Yeah.
But what I think is so, so important is for us to understand that grieving is loss. And what you lose does not get minimized by what you have lost does not get minimized because of how it ended. Does that make sense? I'm sorry. I think my brain's going in two directions.
Yeah.
But, you know, and like Danielle, what you were talking about, we judge ourselves like, what the hell's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Right? I have had relationships end, and thank God they are gone. But that didn't mean I didn't, it didn't eliminate the fact that I actually grieved it. Right. As you were talking, Danielle, I was thinking about a relationship that ended. And what I miss most about it is the laughter and the love that we shared and the joy and the support. Right. But the fact of the matter is that beautifulness did not outweigh what actually ended up being the reason that the relationship ended. And so I'm wondering that if we are not supporting ourselves and loving ourselves enough, how much do we allow that, like, we ignore ending a relationship because we don't want to lose something, mm-hmm. but what are we losing when we're not choosing us first? And just to your one point about grieving with you, you said something to me that made all the difference in the world. So if people don't know, I have had six family members leave in the last number of years, and it's been not fun. But Melitza, you said to me when my mom died, which has still takes me out, make time for grief. And I honestly, we were on the phone, and at the time I'm like, I had the look on my face like, are you fucking insane? Like, honest to God, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Now, I didn't say that because I was in the middle of tears, but that's what my brain was saying. And as per usual, I listened to what Melitza says, and I will at least chew on it for a while. And I started to do that. I started to make time for grief. I would look at pictures of my mom, and I knew it was going to trigger me. But what that did was it helped me to love her and allow the pain to surface so that it could leave. And so today I have far more love and joy when I look at pictures than I do with the pain. And that makes all the difference in the world.
I love that. And that was actually my great grandma being a genius, taking her time for grief. With them. Well, if you guys didn't listen to last week's story, like, that was her story, right? She had that child who died when he was two, and he died on the same day that her other son was born. So she had quite the polarized day every day that July. I think it was like July 23rd or something like that. And whenever she had that grief, she'd go in and she was a solid person. Like, she lived to 106. Like, you don't get there without having some attitude and some spunk, right? And but she also didn't deny her grief, which I think was a really beautiful thing.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting, something that you brought up when you were saying, you know, Melitza said it's a gift to have someone show you their grief, and that you're telling, you know, Christine, give yourself time for grieving. What I also found was interesting is when we're like grieving the unusual.
Yeah.
I remember when I left that abusive gaslighting relationship, I had people frustrated with me that I wasn't happy.
Wow.
Ooh.
You know, it's like, oh, well, you finally got rid of him. Why are you sad? What's wrong with that? And so it's like, you know, this is also about educating other people that it's like grief's going to look different. Yeah. You need to honor their journey, what's going on with them. Because I wasn't grieving because I missed him. I wasn't grieving because I wanted to go back. I was just grieving the difference, the change, the emotion. And I was releasing everything that I had pent up, right? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't even a relationship I ever wanted to get in. I don't know if I've ever really told you guys about this relationship, but I never even wanted to be with him. I kind of fell into it. Then he got sick and controlled me that way and a bunch of stuff. So it's like, yeah. And so when I left, people were like, well, you finally got rid of him. Why aren't you happy? I'm like, I'm just not, which actually deepened because it deepened the confusion and the frustration.
Well, people have so much judgment around grief. Like, my mom was in her 100th year when she passed away. And the friggin' comments were just, I wanted to lose my crap on people because, well, she lived to a good age. And it's like, that does not minimize the grief. In fact, the grief that I have is one of my closest friends, because my mom and I were friends, I have had in my life for 60 years. Imagine having somebody by your side for 60 years and they die and you should be okay with it. You shouldn't be grieving. And I wanted to smack people, seriously.
When my mom died, I actually had
target, right? Like your mom had the target. She kept on saying, I'm going to make it to 100. So we were like cheering her on. It's like, Norma, we were trying to help you get there.
That's right.
No, I was going to say, when my mom died, I actually had somebody say, well, it was only your mom.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've been surrounded by interesting people, which is why I love keeping people like you in my life. But yeah.
It was only your mom.
Oh, I got a good one for you.
Your best friend and like your colleague and your mentor.
Yep.
I got a good one for you. People don't know what to say. And I appreciate this, but this is what was said to me when my brother of 21 years died. I was 15 years old, and a boy at school that I had dated said to me, well, it's a good thing your parents had a lot more children.
Wow.
Yeah. And that man went on to have 3 boys, and both of them died tragically at very young ages.
Oh my gosh.
Good thing he had a third. No, I'm just...
my heart breaks for him. And think about what you're saying when, and recognize that regardless of the how or with whom, there is a loss. There is a loss. There is an emptiness that gets pulled away from, like gets created by something ending. And it can be very painful, even if it doesn't make sense.
Even if it doesn't make sense. Or makes sense to you. Like in August, I had to put my cat down of 18 years. She was my companion, right? Some people didn't understand. They're like, why are you sad? I'm like, because I'm missing my cat. So even if you don't understand it, just say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're having a rough time, you know. You can't go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then just back away.
it's very, very interesting, people's points of view when they don't know what to say. And they're uncomfortable. People are uncomfortable. We had a very bad, tragic airplane accident in our little community. And there was 2 of the 3 passengers died. And we were like a very 100 families. So everybody knew everybody. And both these young men were waked in the same funeral home. So you can imagine how many people and the lineups and everything. And I got there. And because I had my brother and my dad pass away right before the age of whatever. When I got there, all of my friends, like about 15 of them, were standing on the street. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, we're waiting for you. Aww. We don't know what to do. Oh, because they had not been through this process before. So it's when you don't know what to do, ask somebody, how do I support this person? What's appropriate to say? What will be appropriate? And sometimes just giving a person a hug. When my dad died, I remember my best friend, the girl that, you know, I knew since I was 2 years old, she came to the funeral home. I don't recall anybody saying a word to me because it was, you're just in such a, I don't know, a fog. And she just came up and put her arms around me. That was all that was needed, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes that's all we need is just support. And anyways, I could go
on. And allowance, we need to be allowed our journey, our experience.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, guys, we're past break, and you guys are always the ones picking on me for that. So we're
going to have to commercial break.
Guess what? You guys are listening to The Pleasure Zone, where today we're talking about grief. And I'll bring something up after commercial break because it was something my husband said to me after my last show. Okay. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back with our guests after this commercial break.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspire Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspire Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspirechoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we are talking about grieving the unusual, and I have two great guests on today. I've got Christine McIver and Danielle Carter. And guys, before we like dive too deeply into the rest of this grief episode, can you guys share how people can find you, where your shows, what your shows are called, who you love, who you want to do next, all that sort of stuff?
Lord have mercy. Christine McIver here. You can find me at christinemciver.com. That's M-C-I-V-E-R. Or you can find me, just type in my name. You'll find me all across social media platforms and podcast platforms. My show is called Inspired Choices for Business Growth. I talk all about the combination of mindset, self-empowerment, self-confidence, and business strategy. And I kind of kick your butt during the shows.
True story. Oh, also CEO Without Apology back there.
CEO Without Apology is my first book. The second book will be coming out this summer. And this is, if you are somebody that really wants to be a strong CEO, this is going to kick your butt as well. I don't hold back. I'm known for not holding back, but it's all in the target to support you to get out of your negative mindset and move you forward into the pleasure of business.
Love that. Danielle?
All right. Danielle Carter. You can find me on my website at Danielle, two N's, two L's, Donnielle.com. My show here on the network is The Exploration of Wonder. And it's a fun show because it's truly the exploration of what you're wondering about, what you're curious about. I've talked quantum physics, mindset, stress, nervous system, bodies, listening to bodies. And one of my favorite last ones was procrastination. It's called revenge sleep procrastination. It's this fun, new, interesting psychological thing. So yeah, basically, if you're curious about wondering about it, we explore it on The Exploration of Wonder. And I also will be having a book come out, my first book, in the next few months, called The Exploration of Wonder. I'm very excited about that as well. And yeah, basically, I love exploring about bodies and mind and curiosity and the world at large. So yeah.
Danielle, your show this week, The Problem of Potential, blew my mind. It seriously did. I am like, it's still up here. Go listen to that. It was phenomenal. Danielle can see things in a direction that you're going to go, how the hell did you catch that? It was really good. It's really good.
The title's great. I could already see how many ways that there could be problems and potential. Even choosing relationships based on potential is like not a good idea.
Right? Oh my God.
That's a great show.
That was not set up. But imagine that. Imagine how much grieving we do because of the potential that we saw in that relationship that's no longer available to us. Like, if I can jump in with this, but. Yes. So my starter marriage, I was quite young. And
starter marriage.
That's a great way of putting that.
Okay.
My starter marriage.
It's like this, when you go to
I can't trademark it. Somebody, I heard this from somebody else, but it was my starter marriage. So
the next one, like that yeast bundle for your sourdough. Oh my God, so good.
My starter marriage, I was quite young, and from that marriage came my son. And his biological donor chose to not participate as a human being would that would father a son. And long story short, he left, went across Canada and lived out his life far away from us and didn't have anything to do with my son. So when the phone call arrived of my son telling me that he had died, and now this was like my son at this point was, I don't know, 24, 25, something like that. And my son called me and told me. And when I hung up the phone, to my surprise, I burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was back here going, what in the hell is going on? It shocked the crap out of me that I burst into tears. And as I sat with it, I realized it was the potential that one day my son would have a father that would love and appreciate and support and guide him and see the beauty that he was. And it broke me. I'm telling you, for several weeks, it really, really broke my heart. And so I didn't have the father-son relationship with him or the lack thereof, but I had hoped for so long that that relationship would grow and be something of prosperity for the two of them. And I was in such a friggin', like, how can you not love this child? Like, I mm-hmm. do not get this. And yeah, I mean, who knows? Who's to judge about what a relationship could or couldn't be? But we do. We grieve the potential so much that we've got our hopes and dreams set on something. And when that relationship ends, there is grieving, there is pain, there is sadness. And, you know, my son's one of these people that, you know, he's not going to share a whole lot of that. I don't know how much he grieved. I don't know how much he didn't grieve that's still locked up inside of him. I don't know. That's his journey. But I can tell you that that occurred for me and it shocked me.
I think there's also, I was just looking up the word because I'm like, there's a word for this where you're expecting people to die, the anticipatory grief, right? So there's sometimes you're grieving while the person's still alive, but they're, you know, they're suffering and, you know, and, you know, the doctors have said, like, here's, you know, the curse of the doctors. They've said you've got 3 months to live and you're like living with that curse and you believe it and then you do it. And so in the meantime, everybody's grieving because they also agree with that curse. And that anticipatory curse grief, I think, can be almost longer in a way, because it's like, you know, it's coming and you're grieving like every day. And then when it does happen, then you have the other grief and you're like, it's just compiled. It's like, as if it's been, I don't know, it's like it exponentializes the amount of grief.
And the guilt that comes along with that. So mom was in hospice, as you guys know, from October until April. Then she got kicked out of hospice. So the whole time I'm anticipating, right, every week I'm going to visit mom. Every, you know, I'm talking to hospice all the time. And like, how is she? And you're constantly on the edge, constantly on the edge. And then she actually got better because the care in hospice is so one-on-one. And she got kicked out. She got kicked out and sent to, and this was in 2022, so we're still kind of ish in COVID, so there wasn't a lot of beds available in different nursing homes. So she got put into a nursing home that was okay. It was no more than okay. And it was about 6 weeks, something like that, and then she died. But from October until June, you know, I'm in the grieving. Yep, she's in hospice. Oh, today wasn't a great day. So you're like, the grief is like, it's like walking with you. The whole time it's walking with you. It's walking with you. It's walking with you. And then it became exhausting. So for all you out there who are in the midst of this, I get it. It's, you're exhausted and you're, it got to the point, and forgive me, mom, but it got to the point, was like, I wish she would just go already. I wish she would just go already, because I'm worn out. I'm worn out, and she must be worn out from all of this. And then when she died, then I'm numb. Then I was kind of grieving and kind of relieved. And then I went into, oh my God. And then beating the crap out of myself for a really long time because my grief was pouring out of me. And at the same time, it's like I was standing in front of myself, waving my finger at myself going, and you wished for this. You asked for this. It really is messed.
Yeah, I remember that so well because I had done the same thing with my grandmother. I was caretaker for my grandparents.
Oh, right.
And so I remember we had that anticipatory grief of like, how can you still be alive? How can you still be alive? And the guilt and everything. So when you were relaying this, I'm like, it's okay to have thought those things because we've been there before. And so, yeah, I was really looking at that too of, you know, sometimes we can want that grief done, that walking grief that you said, the anticipatory grief. And you're not wanting the person gone, but you're wanting the situation over. Mm-hmm. And that's a difference that people really need to look at. It's not that you want them gone, but you want the situation over. You need the change. When you're stuck in a looping purgatory, no matter what it is, it's not healthy for any of the participants. My grandmother used to wake up crying because she was still there. And so she was even having grief.
Yeah, it's really, really crazy.
Yeah.
So what about the, because we kind of got into a conversation last week, what about the grieving of situations? Like, let's give some examples, because we were talking about this, yeah, right? Yeah. What about grieving a client leaving you? I've never had that dream ever.
I have.
I'm just kidding. Of course I have. Way
yeah,
too
definitely
often.
Definitely had some of that. And then friends and like there's so many different griefs. But guys, I think we actually are supposed to go to a break so I can like be a good person and be on time. So we're going to head to our next commercial break and we'll talk about those other experiences too when we come back. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network. And I've got my guests today, Danielle Carter and Christine McIver. And we are just diving into grief. Hope we don't make you guys cry. Or maybe if we do, it could be part of your process. So we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Wow, guys. So we're talking about grief today. And in talking about grief, one of the questions after my last episode, My husband was like, "So how'd your show go?" That's always his question. How'd your show go? And I usually give him the feedback or the feedback of what I've heard from the producer that day. And because he has quite a lot of hearing loss, he doesn't listen to my shows on podcasts. But I don't think he even realizes now that you can like actually have the closed captioning on some of them. But anyway, he usually asks for the debrief. And one of the questions he's like last week was like, "Well, how does grief even relate to sex and relationships?" And I was like, "It's very interconnected because when we're grieving, some people will use, and I'll just use two kind of interpretations. Some people will use grief. Some people will use sex as a way to relieve the grief, right? So it's bringing in those happy hormones and the oxytocin to try and help heal. And sometimes people will even just do it to like relieve the stress of the death or going through that whole process. I swear people probably have sex at funeral homes quite often to just get it out of their systems. And then another response would be that the grief gets so deep that you become almost frozen, right? So part of that, the dorsal vagal response in the poly, what am I talking about? I was gonna, polyvagal theory. I was going to polytheistic. It's nothing to do with multi
That's a
gods.
different show.
Yeah, it's a different show for a different day. All the different sex gods. Anyway, polyvagal response. And so he was like, "Oh, okay." I'm like, "Yes." So and when you are frozen and deep in that grief, it's really hard to connect with people, especially when you're feeling that deep loss. So I don't know, let's dive into that kind of like, well, how do you interpret like what's going on in your sex life when grief comes up? Like for you guys, did you find you had like a go-to, like when you're grieving deeply, do you just want to be comforted with sex or do you just want people to screw off and leave
Well,
you alone?
it's interesting that you say that because I was thinking back to when my mom died,
Yeah.
and it was heavy, deep grief, right? She was my best friend, my mentor, all that, as you said. And as you both know, I have a shag mate, a friend that, we've been playing for years and years and years, and we're very close. And he came to town and I'm like, I'm not in the mood. He's like, "No, I know, I'm just here for you, you know." And when I look back upon it, I don't think I could have had sex with him because I couldn't hide because of the closeness. And I was like, "Hey, I'm still in the numb. I don't really want to experience this yet. It would be overwhelming." But I could have had sex with some random person to hide and distract. But I couldn't have with the person that I'm vulnerable with.
Right.
So at that time with the grief, it was interesting. I never even thought about that till you're asking about that. I'm like, yeah, with him I couldn't have, but with somebody else it could have been a distraction. But
Yeah,
with him,
just a
because
stress relief.
I couldn't have hidden. So it was really interesting. And because he would have been caring, right? He would have been, damn it, he would have been caring and kind and nurturing. And so I
And you'd
couldn't
be
have hidden.
crying and having an orgasm at the same time. It just, it's
Exactly.
conflicting and strange.
Maybe later, but not then, right? So it was really interesting to see the difference of that.
What do you feel, Christine?
Well, for me, I didn't have a partner at the time when, and for me, what just came to mind is just being held, just being comforted, just being listened to. And that's a form of intimacy that the body requires and that I know that I require. And I think that from that, allowing that the space for that, allowing the space for the intimacy, it brings you closer and allows the body then to be able to experience physical connection, whether that's sex, whether that's just, again, cuddling, whether that is kissing, whatever that is. For me, that's the biggest piece. And in that, it comforts the body, right? It allows the body to relax. I don't have a problem with sex, but I don't, if my body's not comfortable, I'm not interested in having sex. Right. So in that whole situation, I think listening to my body and listening to what my body requires, not just about trying to hide.
Yeah. Well, and a big topic that we do not have time for are bodies grieve.
Yes, they do.
Bodies grieve. There is, you know, especially with somebody that you've been physical with or family or even had a lot of interactions with. I mean, there's chemical interaction, there's neuro interaction. Bodies grieve when a familiar body goes away is a simple way of saying it. And that's a huge topic, but sometimes that grief is intense because your body's grieving too, and just you need to acknowledge that.
Right. And again, the body going away is not necessarily death.
Yeah.
Right? No. So, Melitza, what are some of the grieving that you have done from people, from relationships of bodies that have not died?
Oh, well, I think the most unusual grief one that I had was with the biological donor of my child. And even though, like, there was so much abuse, like, I think I had multiple times where my life was actually at stake, right? It was massively abusive, physically, emotionally. It was an intense roller coaster ride. And even at the time when there was potential that he was dying because he had had several health complications, I won't get too specific so that it doesn't trigger back to him. But there several health complications, and I did have the grief of my child might not have access to this person mm-hmm. later on in life. And I didn't know how it would be interpreted by Ziva or not. Like, at the time I thought maybe Ziva doesn't know. They say it doesn't matter to them because they don't feel that connection with this person. They never did. They were quite resolved even as a baby. and so the grief I was grieving for them instead of, it was a weird, oh. It was like, I'm grieving for you, even though you're not necessarily sad. There was more than anything there. It's like Ziva went from anger to resolution very fast.
Right. Because she didn't they didn't have as much of a connection.
Yeah.
To past experiences. Well, the other
or
grief.
Love or feeling like any love. So
right.
There was like no love lost. Right. Like that was.
Yeah.
Like,
the other thing that, you know, the other one is if you're in an abusive relationship, I was in an abusive relationship, and the narcissism was hot. Okay. It was like on fire all the time, but there were times of pleasure and joy and love and kindness and generosity. There were those times. So when that relationship ended, to my surprise, I had grief, and my mind was, it was fighting because I knew I was safe. I knew my children were safe. I knew it was a great decision. And yet there were these things that I was missing. And if you know anything about abusive relationships, a woman leaves, and a man can leave too if they're the abused. A woman leaves 15 times on average before she leaves for the last time. And one of those reasons I strongly believe is because of this grieving, this yearning that we have for, but it was possible, but we had good times. And we want that, you know, as humans, we want love so, so much. So that grieving pulls us back in. And we've got to allow, I know 100% that I wasn't leaving until I was ready. We've got to allow that person that process. And I had a number of people that basically walked away from me because they were so frustrated that I kept going back. And I didn't understand it. I couldn't articulate it to them. I had one friend, truly one friend. I didn't know these two beautiful people at the time. I had one friend that was just there. No judgment. She was just there. And she helped me when I, the 15th time, whatever it was, she helped me by just her presence to allow me to choose it again. And then when I chose it again, it was the final time.
Well, and isn't it interesting that all of us have had abusive relationships, but I'm just grateful that we're finally in a time where the light is shining on this, and it's not because there was something wrong with us.
Yeah. And right. There's way less shame around it than there
yes.
during my mom's time yeah. of, you know, divorce and stuff. There's so it's such a different way. And we have so much more information at our fingertips, right? So guys, we're actually due for our next commercial break. Time's flying. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On The Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about grieving the unusual, because I think we often judge ourselves when it comes to, like, why are we grieving the narcissist? Why are we grieving the relationship that was abusive? And so we're kind of letting you guys know we've been there. We know it. And every single one of us has the capacity here on this show today to coach you through that. So if you connect with one of us, find us through our websites that we've mentioned earlier. Find us on our shows too. So we have the Exploration of Wonder. We also have the Inspired Choices. It keeps changing names. The Inspired Choices of Business.
For business growth.
For business growth, yeah. Doesn't keep changing names. Instead, it recently changed names. And for like 18 years, it had one name.
For two years ago, darling.
I know, but it's only been 2 years. If you changed your name to Edna, I'd be taking a while for me to get used to that.
True. We're always evolving.
Yeah. Yes. So grieving the unusual, I think it's such a key topic. And as we went to break, I'm thinking, you know, people grieve things too that they don't maybe realize. Like, you might have lost money in stocks. You could be grieving that too. You know, I think about farmers losing crops, grieving that too. And, you know, there's a lot of things we have where our bodies go through that process of trying to interpret loss. Because loss is so weird. And how do we interpret loss? And our brain has to figure that out. We have logic. Our logic knows loss happens. But our emotion, which is a completely different part of the brain, has to try and figure out what to do with that. And that's wherein lies the crying, the anger, the negotiations, and all the other stuff that we go through. So what's the weirdest? We didn't get to you on the last segment on that, Danielle. Like, what do you feel is like one of the weirdest things you grieved?
Probably I go back to what I said at the beginning. The weirdest thing that I grieved was that narcissistic gaslighting relationship that I never wanted to be in. I got controlled from day one. And then I worked with a high influence company that, yeah, and it was the weirdest thing to grieve it. Yeah. That to find myself going through the stages, I'm like, what? You know, and as Christine said, you know, with the narcissistic gaslighting relationship, I left so many times.
Yeah.
And people were like, I don't understand. Why aren't you just leaving? You don't know either, right? It's not like you can verbalize a sentence and be like, oh, this is why I'm staying. You don't know it, but it's the familiar sort of thing. So for me, that's still one of the weirdest things that I look back upon and go, wow. And, you know, we always think, if I was the person now that I was, if I was then the person I am now, you know, but the person I was then got me to where I am now.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's no longer regret. It's like, okay, that was the experience that got me here.
We also grieve jobs,
yep,
careers, right? When I left my HR job that I had worked and invested so much time and money in, and I made it to the top of the ladder of HR, when I left that job, it ended up being an abusive situation, right, with the company and with some of the people that were there. But when I left, I was relieved, but I grieved for a really, really long time. And it wasn't so much that job. It was the investment of my time and my desire and what I believed my dream was then that was not going to be fulfilled. And then that turned inward to criticizing myself and believing that there was something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. So it's so multi-layered. So if you're somebody that's out there that you're grieving, you don't understand why you're grieving, you're overly confused by the grief, please know there's no wrongness in any grief that you are experiencing, and reach out to someone that can support you, that understands grief on a physiological, sociological, physicality level. You need that kind of support to support you to move through this, because at some point it's going to be confusing.
And, you know, and if I can add into that, it's like, and the person you need to have the most kindness to you is yourself.
Yeah.
You need to be kind to yourself, to give yourself the grace of like, okay, this is what I'm experiencing right now. Even if it doesn't make sense, don't judge yourself for it, and just be like, okay, I'm experiencing this. This is what I'm grieving. This is the moment. Today I'm angry. Tomorrow I'm crying, or the next minute I'm crying, and it's all right. Just be kind to yourself. Give yourself the grace to experience it, because if you hide away from it, it'll just take longer.
I think as you were talking, I don't know why the image of like crows jumped into my head, but I was thinking about how crows actually grieve too. They will like, so it's not just like human beings that grieve. A lot of creatures in the other creatures of the animal kingdom other than humans grieve. So I think it's quite universal when you look at, it's not just a human experience, but when you look at how animals do it, so crows in particular, from the story that my mother told me, so I don't know if this is truth or this is folklore from my mother, which I like the folklore from my mother, is that they will gather together and like kind of cry out around the dying crow.
Interesting. And you know what I'm thinking about? This is Easter Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And how many
resurrection and death and
yeah. Resurrection and death and grief. How yeah. many people are grieving this weekend? You know, they might be grieving Jesus being crucified on the cross. They might be grieving that they no longer have that tradition in their life. Because they don't practice that particular faith anymore, and it's okay.
Or grieving that, you know, that their traditions that they did have, where, you know, there might have been big family gatherings, right? Like, and then the families maybe fallen apart. So all of that, yeah, we have grief for so many things. Grief for traditions is real. Yeah, for sure.
It truly is.
Yeah. Guys, it's been a grief show. It's been good grief.
Good grief.
I was actually thinking about how, yeah, that when you brought up the language of that, Christine, the etymology is like when you really look at Old English and how they would use grief in so many different interpretations than we do now. It's lovely. It's lovely, and it's so poignant and more accurate than maybe some of the words we use today.
Yeah.
There is
very accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. Thank you for having us on, Melitza. This has been fun, and it was so impromptu, which is even the best, because you get the real of us. We didn't really prompt any of this, right?
No, there wasn't even a show description. It was like, let's talk about grief, and now I'm gonna go write about what we talked about and keep that in. But yeah, thank you guys for showing up as always, as you always show up when I need you to. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Melitza.
We will we'll join you again, you know, in the next episode when I don't think I'll be talking about grief, but who knows? Maybe this show triggered more thoughts on that. So I'll sit with that and stew in it as one can as they heal. Until next week.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Melitza Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.